This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
Good morning. Call his wife in. And what a good morning it is. How's your boy been? It is a glorious Thursday morning as the New York Knicks have done it. They take the first two games against Boston. Another pretty much a carbon copy of game number one, down early. This one was even uglier. To be totally honest with you, they had nothing going on. Other than Karl Anthony Towns for a stretch offensively at the beginning of this game, they had nothing going on. It was just as ugly, just as many turnovers, but it just felt. And to do, how could you predict they would do it again? To fall down by 20 again, down 20 with, you know, 4 minutes left in the third quarter, no less. And to work their way back, battle their way back, keep it close. And obviously, Mikal Bridges with 14 fourth quarter points after having none. I mean, he couldn't hit a shot. He's 0 for 9 heading into the fourth quarter? Just an absolute disaster of a game. And then when it mattered most, he put the Knicks on his back. And game two ended the same way as game one with an incredible defensive play. The Celtics yet again shooting terribly from the floor. Tatum looking lost. Jaylen Brown looking lost. They go 8 minutes without a field goal at the end of this game and allow the Knicks to go on a 21-2 run at the end of this game and find a way to win. And of course, Brunson has his big shots, hits a big three, gets to the basket. Karl Anthony Towns has a putback and one. Brunson takes the lead finally with two free throws, and then at the end, it's the defense from Mitchell Robinson Mitchell Robinson's another key figure I forgot. Mitchell Robinson, who, again, I've been screaming about it all morning long. The idea, you want to know how lost the Boston Celtics are and where they are with their confidence and their game planning? The two bigs right now, Mitchell Robinson and Karl Anthony Towns on the floor at the same time, is a huge problem for the Boston Celtics. And Mitch was so good in this game that the Celtics fouled him when they weren't anywhere near the bonus just to get him off the floor. They did it so that they would get near the bonus and the Knicks would be forced to take him off the floor because you can't have him shooting air balls at the free throw line. That still annoys me. But that's how terrible a free throw shooter is. You can't risk it. So they fouled him just to get him off the floor because he was giving the Celtics so much trouble. That's where the Celtics are. Fouling Mitch Robinson. Afraid of Mitch Robinson. And then, of course, Mikal Bridges, who has been obviously a talking point of this whole season. Terrible offensively, making Knicks fans wonder why they traded all these draft picks for him not even a week ago. Oh my God, Giannis might become available. This one might become available. All our picks were wasted on a Mikal Bridges trade, and he has been, over the last three games, the closeout game against the Pistons and these first two games against the Celtics, he has been more than just a key figure. In this game last night in particular, he is the hero of this game. It is not Jalen Brunson. It is Mikal Bridges. And the run he's been on defensively, and even with the 14 points offensively in this game, Mikal Bridges is proving himself to be worth every single pick that the New York Knicks gave up for him. He is a monster defensively. He has been so imperative, such a huge part of the defense that is played and guarding the three-pointer, and then to literally just take the final possessions away from the Boston Celtics, literally rip them out of the Celtics' fingers, has been remarkable. And for me, the feeling I got after this game, and to me, this is the talking point. Now, they got to go finish the deal. But I got to be honest with you. All this season, we have been wondering, we have been hoping, we have been praying, we've been questioning whether or not this team is a legitimate world championship contender. Can they, you know, with their failures against Boston, with their failures against Cleveland, with their failures against OKC, and just overall the comparisons to last year's team and the toughness and the defense, and is Karl Anthony Towns the right guy? And as I just said, Mikal Bridges, is he the right guy? Did they put together the right group? So many questions about this team. It felt like a pipe dream. They're huge underdogs to the Celtics. There's no hope of this team being an NBA championship contender. It's just a distant dream. That is over. The New York Knicks proved in these two games that they are a world championship contender. That's it. It begins with that win last night. Now they have to go out and win another two games, and certainly in my mind they have to split. I want to take game three and just really put the foot on the throat of the Boston Celtics, but they have to win one of two and head back to Boston for a game five with a chance to close it out there, bare minimum. But you get a chance to really feel, especially what's going on in the other series. You got the Pacers with a 2-0 lead themselves, the banged-up Cleveland Cavaliers. There is a legitimate feel to this team now, a team that we have questioned the entire year. That win, to be able to get off the deck twice, to be able to force the Celtics into being completely lost, to have Tibbs completely out-coach his counterpart, to have guys not even play well. You know, OG Anunoby has 5 points in this game. You can feel his impact. You can feel his impact defensively. You realize he makes game-winning plays. Hart, obviously the closer that Brunson is. Mitchell Robinson's impact. It is now legit. I'm not guaranteeing they will win the championship. I'm not an idiot. But what I'll tell you is today, it feels like all the questions about them are over. Now it's just a matter of going out and doing it. They are a threat. As Mitchell Robinson said, how do you feel about them fouling you and getting you in the bonus and off the floor? I feel like a threat. They are a threat to the Boston Celtics. Nobody thought they were. We wondered all year if they could be a threat to the Boston Celtics. That question has been answered. They are a threat, and right now Boston doesn't know how to handle the threat. They are mentally tougher. They are better down the stretch. They have the best closer in basketball. And right now, down the end of these games, their defense ratchets it up to a level that the Celtics have not yet been able to match. Today is the first day as a Knicks fan. I expected them to lose this game. I didn't expect them to win this game. I think everybody expected them to lose this game. And certainly down 20 points in the third quarter, again, I expected them to lose this game. I thought game one was a little bit of a statement. It said it could be a series. Now they have taken a stranglehold of this series, and they are a legitimate threat. If they can overcome these two games, if they can overcome being down 20 points in back-to-back nights against the Boston Celtics, who have owned them during the regular season, if they can get to this point, there is not another hurdle or obstacle that they can't overcome. They have to go do it. Game three is important. Obviously, it's going to be a huge huge game, Madison Square Garden, 3:30 on a Saturday afternoon. It's damn near $800 to get into the building. It is going to be an atmosphere the likes of which we haven't seen in 26 years. But all the questions about the coach, about Mikal Bridges, about this team and whether or not they're capable, those questions are gone. Now it's just a matter of going out there and can they actually accomplish it? Can they win another 10 games? 888-808-1019, because you don't do what they just did. You don't pull off what they just pulled off unless you are a legitimate contender. And again, we compared this team to last year's team. I know everybody loved that team. Oh, they're missing a guy like DiVincenzo. Look at Randall balling in Minnesota. This team is better than last year's team. This team is more talented, and it's got every bit the guts, grit, and guile that team was built on. This team has it. You can't do what they just did without it. And they're more talented. Leon Rose built the team specifically for this series, and they just went into this building after winning three road games in the first series and have taken the first two road games in Boston against the defending champs down 20 in each game and don't even allow the Celtics in the final seconds to get a shot off, because that's how good defensively they are at the end of these games. That's what they just accomplished. Five consecutive road games. They are 5-0 on the road in the NBA playoffs, including two 20-point deficit turnarounds in Boston. The questions and comparisons to last year's team are over, and the questions and comparisons to the Celtics and the Cleveland and OKC, all those comparisons are over too. We are watching a legitimate championship contender, and now they have to go out there and stamp that. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Milton in Brooklyn. What's up, Milton?
Hey, what's going on, man? What a great victory. What a great moment to be a long-time suffering Knick fan.
Absolutely.
I mean, just so much fun. I kept telling everybody in my group that, and I kept telling everybody on Twitter and everything. Last year's team was fun to watch. They were not winning a championship. They had to play that, with that heart and stuff, because they didn't have the talent. They had to overachieve.
Mm-hmm.
They were never gonna win in the playoffs last year as far as going deep. And on top of that, Robinson was hurt all year. They were injured like crazy. No Randall, no this, no that. And the Celtics got away with murder last year, by the way. They were known for choking before last year. This roster was known for choking. They got a nice little run of teams with a bunch of injuries. And now reality is setting in. What I told everybody was, this team was built to win in the playoffs. They were not going to be fun to watch this year. They were going to just build that energy, build that endurance. They saved Robinson. And I thought it wasn't going to be for the Celtics. I'm not going to lie. I told everybody, let him just not play all year and just bring him out in the playoffs to beat maybe Embiid and maybe, to beat Denver. Teams with big centers.
Mm-hmm.
But now everything is falling into place. Not saying they're going to win a championship. The only thing I'm disagreeing with you a little bit.
Championship.
This is the thing. Everybody wants the haters are going to say we're over celebrating. We're already saying we're going to win a championship. No.
I didn't say they're going to win. I'm not predicting they're going to win. I'm saying
you did say that at the end.
I did not say they're going to win a championship.
No. You said that before while I was on hold. You got it right. You said that you're not. I thought you said it was just championship.
They are. They're a champion. They are a legitimate threat to win the championship. We've wondered that. I think now they prove that they're good enough. I'm not saying they're going to go out and absolutely do it or that they're better than everybody else. But up until yesterday, there was questions about whether or not they're capable. They win game one, and the entire basketball world outside of Knicks fans laughed it off. And said, they shot terribly, no Porzingis. It's the most meaningless game one win. You've got Pierce saying he's going to walk to work with no shoes and a robe. Like, nobody. I'm watching Brian Windhorst. He's laughing it off. All I'm saying, even with that win, it kind of turned it into a series a little bit. And it was going to be a tougher thing for the Celtics. But nobody deemed the Knicks capable of winning this series. That changes it. I'm just saying, game two changes that. Now they're a legitimate contender. And especially...
They have the...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Good.
They, they just proved to everybody in the world that they can hang. Right. Now, the thing with me is what I'm going to have to see is start winning at home, and I'm going to have to just – I want to see what people are going to say now, because now they're going to start turning it around, this and that. It's still going to be the luck. It's not about that. It's the fact of the matter is this team has stepped it up defensively. They have two lockdowns. They were built to beat these Celtics. Now they're going to want to know. We have a lot of work to do.
Oh, of course.
I want people to know that there are not dumb Knicks fans out there. People like you and me, we are longtime Knicks fans, and we understand that there's a long way to go. We're celebrating this win because it was great.
Yep.
We're not talking championship. We're talking about hanging with this team, proving people wrong. And you know what? Let's go from there after that. But, you know, if there's going to be some kind of change, let that worry about that in the offseason. Let's just enjoy this made-for-the-playoffs Knicks.
Yep.
This is what it was all about.
That's kind of my point. Yeah. That's kind of my point, Milton, that they seem made for these moments. As Bridges said after Game 6 against the Pistons, we are made for this bleep. Like, it feels that way now. And that's all I'm saying. I'm just trying to say, like, for the first time, this win – to go into Boston and take both when you would have signed in blood to squeak out of here with one, they go in and take both and do it while they're down 20 points. And in this game late in the third quarter, 4 minutes left in the third quarter, they're down 20 points. They're down 10 with 4 minutes left. That's all I'm saying. I'm sorry. I'm just saying it's now it feels real. It felt a little bit like a dream. You know, they're heavy underdogs. Let's steal game one and see what happens. Now they've taken both games in Boston, and it feels like, hey, things are breaking right in the series ahead of them. The Cleveland Cavaliers are obviously banged up. And now it feels like it's a legitimate possibility. And it gives you the chance to really look at – I don't want to look ahead, obviously, because – the Celtics are too damn good. And I want to make sure I'm not saying they're going, I'm not even guaranteed they're going to beat the Celtics. This series isn't over yet. Absolutely not. But now they're in an absolute fight for their lives. That's the plain simple truth. The Celtics are now in a fight for their lives. If you put it to the defending champs to where they're in a fight for their lives, that means you're a championship contender. Like, that's all I'm saying. Like, it felt as they're not going to be able to go. There's a certain level they can't get past, whether it's the teams in front of them. You know, the coach can't take them there. The team isn't talented enough. The bench isn't good enough. There's not that secondary scorer. Karl Anthony Towns is soft. All the different things. There's no way in hell they'll beat the Celtics. There's no way in hell they can beat some of these better teams. Like, that's... like, even if Knicks fans would push back on that, in the back of your mind, there was this, well, yeah, the Celtics are far better, and they've kicked the crap out of the Knicks. The idea of getting past the Celtics almost felt impossible. And now you look at the Pacers with a 2-0 lead in their series, and you just went into Boston and took two, and they're so confused that this coach is fouling his team to put them in the bonus to get Mitchell Robinson off the floor. He doesn't call a timeout at the end of the game, and you could argue that point. You want to just let him play it, but he's not setting up a play. I don't know. But the fouling of Mitch Robinson and the way that was handled, that's a team that doesn't know what to do. They're missing all these shots. They're going 8 minutes without a basket. The Knicks are on a 21-2 run at one point. And Mitchell Robinson is causing such grief defensively that they're just like waving the white flag. Go foul him. Just get him off the freaking floor. Go foul him. The Knicks will have to take him off the floor. I'm sick. The Boston Celtics said, I'm sick and tired of looking at Mitchell Robinson. That's a win. That's a mental victory before the game was even finished. Larry in Mexico City. We can make it to Mexico City.
Me hear you there. How are you doing?
Good. Great. How are you? I'm doing great.
Man, I'm ecstatic.
Yeah.
I want to tell everybody, I'm 47 years old, mm-hmm. and I've cried in happiness with this team, and I've cried in sadness with this team,
mm-hmm.
and I'm ecstatic right now, and I just want to make 3 points if I can. Number one, The Garden on Saturday is on a steroid that the 80s wrestlers in the WWF never even have seen or heard of before. It's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the Boston Celtics are nervous. Their mental state, you see Brown talking in the post-conference, and you see like he doesn't even know what to say. He can't even believe what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is not the Garden that they're going to, like, oh, where they won during the regular season. This is another monster altogether, and Boston's not ready for it. They're not ready for it. We'll see.
And, Larry, thank you for the call. They don't look like they're ready for much right now. Like, that's part of it. Look, and I'm hyping up the Knicks. I'm pumped up. I do think they presented mismatches that the Celtics had issues with, and down the end of the game, they were the smarter, tougher team. But there's no doubt that there's a huge element of the Celtics collapsing. There's a huge element of the Celtics crapping all over themselves and choking this game away and missing every big shot and having terrible offensive possessions down the stretch of this game and missing, you know, putback layups off rebounds. Like, they missed everything. They are as tight as a drum. And, you know, Tatum's banged up knee, and obviously Porzingis isn't really himself, as he put it in the postgame, and wasn't a real factor in this game. What did he play? Porzingis played 14 minutes. He has 8 points. He hit the 1-3 he took. And ultimately, he just is not a factor. Brown took over the game early, getting to the basket. It was clearly there was a point of emphasis on getting to the basket early in the game. But when the blank hit the fan, where were they? Taking bad possessions, taking ugly threes. And that final possession, Tatum dribbles cross-court to put himself in a double-team position. Like, what was he? Like, I don't even know what they're doing. A lot of this is the Boston Celtics are collapsing these last two games. And if it gets close, like, we didn't think the Knicks could hang with the Celtics. They kicked the crap out of them in the early matchups in the season, and then even the late game season, the late season matchup, rather, Porzingis goes off, the Knicks have a lead late, and they blow it. And it felt like, to me at least, I remember thinking, like, some people were positive, hey, at least I feel better about this now. They got a close, and they, I guess they were right and I was wrong, but like, I feel better about this. You know, it's a close game, they hung with them, it was a tight battle, and my point was, yeah, okay, great. So they can either get blown out or they could have the lead with 30 seconds left and still lose the damn game. Like, it didn't matter. The Celtics were going to win. That was the feeling. Leaving the regular season, it doesn't matter what the Knicks do, the Celtics are going to win. And in two games, that has completely switched. The shoe could not be on more on the other foot. Could you be any more on the other foot? Thank you, Chandler. Like, it is completely reversed. The Celtics, the minute the Knicks went on that run, the minute the game got close, it honestly felt like watching it. Watching how the coach handled it, watching how Tatum played, watching how Brown played, watching how that team played down the stretch. It felt like nobody, not Knicks fans sitting at home, not Jalen Brunson on the court, not Tibbs on the sideline, nobody felt more confident the Knicks were going to win that game than the Boston Celtics did. That's how it felt. That's how it felt watching it. The Celtics were convinced they were going to blow that game. To have that kind of dynamic switch in two games in their building is crazy. Now, the Celtics have been the best road team in the NBA. The Knicks have not played as the Knicks have been better on the road as well in these series. Obviously, they lost 2 out of 3. And really, outside of that game one 21-0 run in the fourth quarter against the Pistons, they were outplayed almost every minute of every game in Madison Square Garden. So that clearly has to change. And the Celtics have been a great road team. This is not a cakewalk. This series is not over. The Celtics could easily find themselves. But what we've seen over the course of the first two games here is the Celtics do not know how to handle the Knicks being a legitimate threat and the Knicks going on these runs and the Knicks being the better, smarter, more physical team at the end of these games. And Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby specifically. Now, I know Mitch Robinson has done a great job defensively, Hart with the rebounds, and even, let's be fair, even Cat has had his moments defensively. But OG Anunoby and Mikal Bridges' defense on the perimeter in these late game situations has been so freaking good and so impactful. And to get to a point where the Celtics can't get shots off at the end of these games to give themselves a chance to win it, I am baffled at what I'm seeing. Baffled. But we got to see more of it. And we'll hopefully, and you're right, Saturday afternoon is going to be a crazy crowd. Again, I've mentioned it a couple times. You are looking at $700 just to get in the building. You want to sit in the nosebleed. You want to be in the last row. It's going to cost you $700 to get in. It is. I mean, sometimes I worry that outprices the normal fan, and maybe we don't hear a loud crowd. This is, the Knicks are typically a expensive ticket. The Knicks are typically a tourist destination. This is a normal garden crowd, as much as it can be on Saturday afternoon, and it is going to be a crazy atmosphere. And they will have a chance to take an absolute stranglehold on a series that nobody thought they could win, and thrust themselves right into an opportunity to go on to the next round against a team that they can win. It's either going to be a banged-up Cleveland team or a Pacers team that's obviously good. Obviously, you know, their star has played very well. He's been motivated by his opinion. The opinion of him by his peers is ranked as one of the most, or the most underrated player in the NBA, Haliburton. He's had a great run, and they're a good, solid team, and they beat the Knicks last year. It won't be easy, but that's a series the Knicks can win. They're two wins away from being in a series that they may very well be favored in. In fact, I think they probably would be.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Lynn likes the open floor, spinning, puts it up and banks it in. Yes. Sensational play for Jeremy Lin.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Lin's sanity continues here in Madison Square Garden.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 434, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Let's take as many of your calls. This is your night. Tonight is all of our nights, bro. And I talked to Evan today, too, and I forgot all about it, telling him to stay away from my Tonight is Your Night, Bro. In fact, I think I'm going to have to stamp it with doing a segment and doing a preemptive Tonight is Your Night, Bro, and then selecting a player whose night I think it will be, because I got to own the Tonight is Your Night, Bro. Like, I have to. I can't allow anyone to sweep in and take my Tonight is Your Night, Bro. So it's my thing. It's our thing. It's not Evan's thing. 888-808-1019. So let's get to the calls. John in Wading River. What's up, John?
Hey, how's it going, C-Mac?
Good, brother. How are you?
Great, great. I just wanted to bring up yesterday about, you know, how many callers were calling in and everything about how Tibbs has got to go. You know, it's him. He's the problem, all that yep. type of stuff. Yeah, he played Robinson perfect last
night.
100%. That was like, that was easily the best way to do it. He was scoring and everything. As soon as he got to that foul trouble, out, bring him back in. His defense did what it had to do.
Yeah. But more than that, more than just once. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't take great coaching to understand that he can't be on the floor, you know, once they're in the bonus because they're going to hack him. It was more than that. Like, the way he was playing, then he left him out there, and he knew they would foul him, put them closer to the bonus, which is obviously where you want to be. And then they took Mitch out. Like, there was a second there where he was going to take him out with OG, and then he was like, you know what, wait, let me wait one more possession. And sure enough, they obliged and fouled. Like, he handled it perfectly. And yeah, listen, a lot of callers, I never went, I was critical. I can't deny it. I was critical of, obviously we all were, of allowing Brunson and Hart to just stand on the sidelines while practically two minutes of clock ran off. I think we were all critical of that. I've been critical of the minutes. I've been critical of, I've never thought that he was a coach who couldn't, you know, take us to that next level necessarily. And I certainly fell short of calling for his job, but I have been critical, and I was looking, and I challenged him, or, you know, I challenged him. I was looking forward to seeing him make adjustments. And I wanted to see him get Carl Anthony Towns involved. Like, there were things I expected from this coach. I didn't think he had a great Pistons series. He had an okay series against the Pistons, other than that horrible mistake he made with allowing Brunson and Hart to just stand on the sidelines. This series, not only just using Mitch in that manner with the Hakimich and getting them the foul and then taking him out and bringing him back for defense, like you said, also just the idea of playing the double bigs as long as he did. It was a unit that was giving them problems. Mitch Robinson and Karl Anthony Towns on the floor at the same time, which we haven't seen all that much. He's thrown that out into this series, and it's had an impact. It's had an impact. He's had multiple good side-out-of-bounds plays, including getting a great look to win the game the other night in regulation. I've been critical about that. The offensive game plan at the end of the game has been better than the Celtics. I think he's had a great first two games of the series. You can't argue it. He's had a great first two games. And I like him. I've praised him. I love him. He turned the whole franchise around when you know, guys like Larry Brown couldn't and Phil Jackson couldn't. And this guy came in here and turned the franchise around. But I question the minutes, and right now it feels like that's paying dividends. It feels like that's become a positive here. They are the better, and I mentioned this during the Detroit series too, they are better in the fourth quarter. If we're concerned about their legs and all the minutes they've played, if we're looking for where it's going to show its and rear its ugly head, we would expect that to be in the fourth quarter. And instead, they've been the far superior team in almost every fourth quarter they play. Except maybe game five loss against the Pistons. Other than that, they've been the better fourth quarter team, and certainly in this series, they've been more physical. Obviously, I mean, they've gone on these, you know, 21-2 run. They're down 20 points in the third quarter. They've clearly been the better team in the fourth quarter and in overtime. And they've made smarter decisions and have been able to shoot the ball better. So in every way, Tibbs has had an amazing series. And I think you mentioned all the callers calling for his job. I would think that is put to bed. Tibbs is coming back. All right, no matter where this season ends, Tibbs is coming back. Let's go to Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Chris, just be quiet for a second. I have something to say, and I'm really mad. Remember the other day when you hung up on me and made me look dumb?
Yep, and I followed up again with the exact same thing, and now I feel like the Knicks. I just had back-to-back, successful, come-from-behind victories. And it feels good. It feels really good. It feels really good. Brett, I'm more than happy to talk to you. Don't start the call with shut up for a second. Like, I understand that this is your gimmick and everything. There's like a limit. You don't just take, you don't say, hey, Chris, shut up for a second. Like, and then you don't beg me to hang up on you twice. Remember? I remember it very well. And the next time I'll speak to you, maybe you'll remind me about the two different times I did it to you. And honestly, it was a big time. It was a big hit. I got a bunch of people hitting me up on social media, very happy that I hung up with you. So
Who am I to defy? Who am I to deny the audience what they want? It's not how you go about things. 888-808-1019. You got to give it to the guy, honestly. Who calls into a show that you want to become a part of and contribute to, and the first words out of your mouth are, shut up and listen. Brett.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, real quick before we finish the rapid fire style, I do want to hear the misery. There's nothing better than listening to especially a rival like the Boston Celtics. Let's listen to these calls and let's see if we can get any real raw emotion out of Sean Grande and the Celtics radio network. So we'll just play the calls. Tell me what do we got here again, Fleegs?
So this is when Cornette dunks to put the Celtics up 68-50.
Okay.
You'll hear it's not so much Sean Grande, but Cedric Maxwell at the end. It would annoy you live if you were a Knicks fan, knowing that the Knicks won, though.
Yeah. Now, yeah, let's play some of the highs and then get their lows. So, sure, it's a dunk that puts them up 18.
In typical Boston radio fashion, you know, Zolak with, what they used to be in Heights. Yep. Like, this is...
Tatum wants Cornette to come out and set the screen. 12 on the shot clock. Cornette is there. Tatum moving to his right. Bounce pass. Cornette rolling into the basket. Two-hand slam. Cut out Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, you undersold that one. He's pretty obnoxious.
I mean, there's no way to, he doesn't say words.
No. All right. All right, what do we got next?
Jaylen Brown against Jalen Brunson. Left-hand dribble, pulls up into contact. Shot bounces, no good. Offensive rebound, Derek White. Got knocked down to the putback. It's no good, no foul. Here come the Knicks, up by one. Jaylen Brunson driving, scooping, and scoring. The Knicks fans in the building going wild. A 15-0 New York run.
All right, pretty straightforward. Not too much tears to steal from that. But let's see, where do we got next?
Tatum will trigger it from under his own basket. It's in the hands of Derek White. He returns to Tatum, and here we go. 20 seconds to go. Tatum dribbles past Robinson, flies in for a two-hand slam. Nobody stopped the ball. And for 48 hours of everyone in Celtics Nation screaming to take it to the rim, Jason Tatum just did it coast to coast with as much authority as you can imagine. Boston has the lead with 18.5 to go.
See, that one's just great knowing what happens the next time Tatum tries to go to the rim.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, so now we got the final call. Let's hear how Boston Radio, again, Sean Grande and Celtics Radio Network had the final call.
Holiday's got it. 12 seconds to go. Back to Tatum. Cross half court. Tatum behind the Horford screen. Tatum, 5 seconds. Tatum at the free throw line. Tatum falling away in a baseline. His pass blocked by Bridges, and the Knicks have done it again. The Celtics do not get a shot away. And the New York Knicks, written off as a championship contender midway through this season, have just recorded three extraordinary victories on the road to put themselves up 2-0 in the Eastern Conference semifinals.
That sucked. One, the only good part of it is he literally, stamped my open. That's exactly... Written off as a championship contender. That's what I've been saying, that this win changed the championship contender talk. So thank you for that, but he was way too complimentary in the Knicks. I didn't get any sense of misery. I mean, that's a fair call. He just absolutely gobbled all over the Knicks for 15 seconds.
Well, he does a good job, but what you have to remember is a color guy who loves jumping in when things are good.
Yeah.
He's notoriously silent on these Knicks calls.
No, absolutely. But, I mean, that was fair. I mean, he could have killed the Celtics a little bit, but he praised the Knicks. That was not, I mean, it's nice of him. Now I like the guy. I was looking for a little bit of misery. I was looking for a little bit of that, I don't know, that feeling of just, despair. There was no despair there. There was the Knicks are better than everybody thought they were, and with three great wins. And they are. And they were. 888. What is that? Magic.
I'm going to try that at my son's baseball game when he gets a hit. See how everybody likes it. Let's go to Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie?
Oh, Chris, unbelievable. All the years I'm watching. I mean, to have just two shots and games end like that with the same guy.
I know.
Obviously, not even a question of a foul.
No.
But they couldn't get the shots off. Down 20. I turned it off. I'm watching my TV shows Wednesday. I'm looking at the phone. I got it back when they were down 8. And I said, wow, can they do it again? Just incredible. We spoke before real quick about how they were a 3-seeded and was no respect at all for them. And I mentioned to you, maybe this is something where they can just show what they really are because, you know, they're going to win the first round and get blown out by the Celtics. And, Chris, I wonder if that last game, what they took when they went to overtime and they did lose it, is kind of similar, you know, when the Giants played the Patriots. You remember that game?
Of course.
They lost that game regular season, gave them the confidence. I don't know, but this is a magical cap ride, man.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
No, there's no doubt about it. And I poo-pooed that. Not the Giants one, this most recent Celtic one. A lot of people tried to extrapolate, maybe not that a specific analogy, but the idea that, hey, it proves they can hang with the Celtics. Like, people were positive on that game, and I kind of went the other way with it. I was like, all I'm positive about is they can't beat the Celtics. Like, they either blowouts or close games, it doesn't matter, because they had the lead late in that game and still found a way to lose. So,
but with hindsight
of how this series has went, maybe it did have a huge role in all of this.
And you know
maybe
what this has done for Thibodeau? Because it was a question of his job. Hey, could they be competitive?
Yeah.
What they've done and how they played in Towns, I think, set a little precedent in the beginning, taking Horford to the hole and playing inside. And and they still went down by 20 and came back again.
Amazing.
It was unbelievable, man.
Amazing. No, I mean, you got it, buddy. Amazing. And this one was even more, I don't know why. Maybe it's because I went in thinking it's going to be very difficult to win both games. And, I mean, the only other thing I could point to is that the Knicks played a better first quarter. Like, the Knicks were miserable from the jump of this game. This one in particular felt more outlandish. I was absolutely floored that this game got even close. Game one, I don't know why. I wasn't confident or anything. I never at any point while they're down 20 think, oh, here comes the run. Like, I never felt that. But I was less surprised as they made it. I don't know. This one really shocked me. It really shocked me because they were playing so terrible. I mean, you know, in game one, OG Anunoby had a decent game. Like, he scores five, and not that he made plays. He made winning plays. That's what he does. But he scored 5 points in this game. Like, Brunson didn't really do anything in this game. Bridges missed every shot he took. Like, it just felt like they just didn't have it. The start of the game, they take away the three-pointer at the start of the game because of a shot clock violation. So they go the first 6 minutes, it felt like, without a basket. They score, you know, 13 points in the first quarter. It was just an ugly game the entire way through, and I just never thought they were getting it back in this one. And the fact that they did, and the fact that it was Mikal Bridges who did it, and then the game ends in the same kind of manner where they can't get a shot off, and it's Mikal Bridges, you know, literally ripping the ball out of their hands and throwing it ahead to try and waste the last few seconds of the clock. It's crazy that both these games went like this. And again, I know I've harped on it, and maybe I'm making too much of it, but fouling Mitchell Robinson in the manner they did screams, I don't know what to do. Just to me, it does. It screams that we are not prepared for this. I don't know what to do. I got to get him off the floor. Like, to be fouling at when you don't need to foul there to get Mitchell Robinson off the floor, there's no other reason to do it. And when Mazzulla was asked in the post game about fouling him to get him off the floor, if he regrets it, he said no. He said he's a plus 19. All the starters are minus. The Celtics were afraid of Mitchell Robinson. So, like, that to me, that is, it just screams the dynamic shift that we have here. And Mitchell Robinson said in the postgame, it makes me feel as if I'm a threat. And that's what it feels like. It feels like the Knicks have now become a threat and the Celtics weren't expecting it. And they don't know how the hell to handle that. Never mind the fact they're missing all these shots. And clearly game one was worse with all the missed threes. They still took 40 in this game, which is a lot, but it's not a crazy amount for a team that's led the NBA. I mean, this is their game. I still expected them to take a lot of threes, less than 60, but still a significant amount. That's their game. And they only make 10 of them, so they shot 25%. And clearly Tatum is dealing with something. And clearly, you know, Porzingis is going through something that is making him a real non-factor in this series. So those are major issues and, you know, breaks that the Knicks have caught in some way. But the way the Knicks played is one thing, and it's remarkable, and they're the better team down the stretch. They're making smart decisions. They're getting better looks. They're doing everything right and making every big play. So I do want to focus on that, clearly, but there's no doubt the Celtics are completely lost. And Tibbs is doing a great job. I mean, he's switching more on the screens, and he's throwing out that big lineup. He's throwing the two bigs out there, causing all kinds of problems for the Celtics. Even though they're up 20 points in this game, they're creating problems down the stretch and making possessions very difficult for the Celtics, and they're missing all the shots. Like, that's part of it too. But man, oh man, the confidence that and the hubris that the Celtics have shown in the early parts of this game, and then to only watch them look like deer in the headlights in the last few minutes of the game to the point where they can't get shots off at the end of the game, it's crazy. And for me, this, again, I'm not telling you the Knicks are going to be NBA champions. I'm not even telling you they're going to win this series. They got to go out and win one of these two games. The Celtics have been the best team the best road team in the NBA. They have more work to do in this series. But to be able to do what they just did and make the Celtics look like they look and second-guess themselves and be afraid of Mitchell Robinson and looking ahead at what possibly lies in front, if they're able to accomplish this, there's nothing ahead of them they can accomplish. They just got to go out there and do it. It really feels like we've answered all the questions about who they need to be, who they can be, what they have to be. They can be all of that. It's just a matter of going out and doing it. And this team is built to go do it. So go do it! And it'll start Saturday afternoon, 3:30, Madison Square Garden. Can't wait for it. But we don't have to wait that long to meet again. I will catch you for a 5-hour midnight ride later tomorrow morning, I guess. That's typically how it works. For another 5 hours. I'm sure we'll talk a little baseball. But we'll still talk Knicks, obviously. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Fleegs, I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.